Well, as most of you know, we have been looking recently at some of the things which the Lord Jesus did not do when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and at the cross. And the title for this week's talk is, He Didn't Hide His Face from Shame and Spitting. Now that title is found almost word for word in your Bible. Over 700 years before our Lord's suffering, Isaiah the prophet wrote, I was not rebellious, I turned not backward. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Now we know that Isaiah was not writing about himself, and it's obvious, at least to me, from the detailed fulfillment of those words, that with an inspiration given by the Holy Spirit, Isaiah was speaking of our Lord Jesus. Because as Isaiah foretold, the Savior did not draw back from the mission he had come to fulfill, but voluntarily endured, not only being scourged when he gave his back to the smiters, gave his back to those who beat him mercilessly, but he voluntarily endured not only being scourged, but being ridiculed, spat on. In Bible days, there were many ways in which men could express contempt for others. They possessed, if you like, a whole arsenal of scorn and derision. For example, one way to shame an enemy was to strip him of his clothes, either some of them or all of them. Another way to humiliate someone was to wag one's head at him. Again, another way to express disdain for somebody was to damage his beard, the beard being cherished by men of those days as a symbol of their manly dignity. And the Bible makes it clear that during his so-called passion, the Lord Jesus endured each of these. For at the cross, men stripped him of his garments. Men laughed him to scorn and shook their heads at him, we read. We just read of what men did to his beard. When the Savior suffered not only the deep disgrace, but the excruciating pain of having the hair of his cheeks violently wrenched out. But from what I have read, what I have been able to discover, one of the greatest insults which could be leveled at somebody was to spit directly in his or her face. The Old Testament itself mentions this extreme gesture of contempt on several occasions. For example, when Miriam, sister of Moses now, was struck with leprosy after she had spoken against Moses, and when, following that good man's prayer for her, God healed her, the Lord required that she should be excluded from the camp of Israel for 7 days. Nobody moved in the wilderness for 7 days, because this woman was outside the camp. The Lord explained to Moses that this 7-day period of public shame explained the reason for it. I quote him, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Now clearly, spitting in somebody's face was regarded as a very serious matter. Again, in the book which bears his name, Job bemoans the fact that although once when he entered any gathering, the old men would rise to their feet, that even the princes and the nobles would stop talking, that though that was once true, now there were young men of a very dubious background who, as Job said, do not hesitate to spit in my face. Oh yeah. To spit in someone's face was considered to be one of the highest forms of insult and indignity. Now with that in mind, Let me quote you three brief extracts from the Gospel of Mark. First, from chapter 10, where a few months before his crucifixion, Jesus forewarned his disciples, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed, and they will scourge him, and spit on him, and kill him." You notice that the reference to his being spat on sits between references to being scourged and being killed, and that gives you just some idea of how seriously our Lord viewed it, and how keenly he would feel it. Turning from Mark 10 to Mark 14, we read of that occasion when, in what proved to be a farce of a trial, our Lord appeared before Caiaphas the high priest and the supreme Jewish council, the Sanhedrin. Mark tells us that when Caiaphas asked him, and I'm quoting, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus said, "I am." Then the high priest said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You've heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him as deserving death. Then, we read, some began to spit on him, and to blindfold him, and to beat him. And all that took place at night. Mark tells us in the opening of chapter 15, that as soon as it was morning, the whole council bound Jesus and delivered him to Pilate. We read then that following his civil trial before Pilate, another blatant travesty of justice, the Roman governor, quote, "delivered him to be crucified, and the soldiers led him away into the court called the Praetorium. Plaiting a crown of thorns, they put it on him, and they struck his head with a reed and spat upon him." Yes, make no mistake, my Lord felt keenly the stinging insult of the spittle, both of the Jewish council and of the Gentile soldiers. Think of how he once made it clear to Simon the Pharisee, who for his own reasons had invited him, our Saviour, into his home for a meal. He made it clear that he noticed and he felt Simon's lack of common courtesy when he, Simon, had neglected to give him a kiss of greeting. How much more, then, do you suppose, did he feel the contempt expressed by the filthy spittle of both the Jewish Sanhedrin and the Gentile soldiers? But we must know that according to our text, the Lord Jesus said, "I hid not my face from shame and spitting." That is, he bore the shame and the spitting willingly. He did it voluntarily. It's 8 weeks since I last spoke at Coffee Morning, and at that occasion, we looked together at our Lord's shining garments on the so-called Mount of Transfiguration, and we noticed briefly his face, which, we are told, then shone like the sun. Why, we may well ask, did he now willingly expose that very face to such indignity and disgrace? Why? Well, let the New Testament itself give us the answer, for it does. It was, it says, for the joy that was set before him, that he endured the cross, despising the shame. What joy, we may well wonder, could possibly compensate for such humiliation? Well, it certainly included the joy of having a saved people to dwell with him forever. And I note that the last but one book in your New Testament more or less closes by assuring us that one day he will present all those who trust in him faultless, free from blame or stain, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. One German preacher and hymn writer of the 18th century captured the thought beautifully. Where no shade nor stain can enter, nor the gold be dim, in his holiness unsullied I shall walk with him, he and I, in that bright glory one deep joy shall share, mine, to be forever with him, his, that I am there. I can't begin to explain it, but the Lord Jesus considered the joy of finding us when we were as lost sheep, considered the joy of one day taking us to be with him, to share his glory. He considered that as adequate compensation for all the shame and the spitting from which he chose not to hide his face. Such is his love for us. Shall we pray?